In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
My Lord, people were so happy about those doors that Father Tom, those doors are beautiful. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm pouring out my soul here, and they're thinking about doors. You know, but that's the way people are. That's the way people are. You know, we love those doors. Those doors are so beautiful. And I said to myself, I've never heard so many compliments since I've been here. All about the doors, like, which is so insignificant. So insignificant. But you know what? Every once in a while I hear, you know, your preaching has caused me to think. Your preaching has caused me to turn to the Lord. Your preaching has caused me to really have a relationship with God every once in a while, but not like the doors. I won't tell you. I got more compliments on those doors than I could even tell you. That's the way people are. That's the way people are. Poor Moses. Whence should I have flesh to give unto this people? For they weep over with me. Give us flesh, Lord, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray. Out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. You know, I'm just so tired of it all. It would be easier to die. That's always the easy way out. It's easier to die. You know what I'm saying? We have martyrdom when people shed their blood for Jesus, but dry martyrdom is sometimes more difficult. No bloodshed. You're not dead with a blow on your head. You're called to die every day because you're called to lead the people. Moses is called to lead the people. He didn't die a red martyr. He died a dry martyr, and he was tired of it all. He was tired of it all. He just wanted help. He wanted help. And you know what? When a woman is pregnant and she's giving birth to a baby and she cries, no, 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 it's not that she's saying, I don't want the baby. She's saying, I want some help. I need some help. I need help while this baby's coming. Doesn't say that that I don't want the baby, even though they're saying, no, no, no. That's not what the woman means. She's saying, I want some help. So the Lord said unto Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel. You choose 70 elders whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. So the Lord says, I'm going to give you some helpers. I take 70 men, 70 elders, and I'm going to do something when we get into the tabernacle. I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take the spirit that is on you, and I will put it upon them, that they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest not thyself alone. In other words, I'm going to anoint 70 men that are going to help you, and I'm going to give them some of the spirit that's on you. I'm going to take some of the spirit that's on you, and I'm going to put it on the 70 men, and they'll be able to help you. They're the elders. You won't do doing it alone. They're going to divide the people up into groups, you know, and I will listen to you. But I've listened to you now. Now I want to help you. I'm going to give you 70 men. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord. Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, You shall not eat 2 days. You shall not eat 5 days. You shall not eat 10 days or 20 days, but even a whole month, until the food comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? In other words, I'm going to send quail. I'm going to send quail enough for a whole month that you'll be eating, that it's going to come out your nostrils. Why? Because you wondered why we left Egypt. You remember Egypt. You remember the leeks and the onions and the things, the fish. Oh, but listen, I'm going to fix you now. I'm going to send meat, and you're going to get sick of the meat. You know, isn't that always the way? Isn't that always the way that, you know, we ask for something, and then we kind of leave it. It's like toys that we get at Christmas. We play with them for 3 or 4 days, and then they're gone on the 5th day. You know, when I think of humanity, one of the words I think of is the word fickle. We're all so fickle. We're all so fickle. We have memories that remember the wrong things. We're all so fickle. So the Lord's going to supply help for Moses, and he's going to send them food to eat. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sent them round around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, the glory cloud, and spoke unto Moses. And he took some of the spirit that was upon Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now, what is prophecy? This is ancient now. I'm going to tell you what prophecy looked like. Prophecy looked like an ecstatic dance. They would rip off their clothes. They would literally rip off their clothes, and they would start dancing and jumping up and down. And they would also speak the word of God. When prophecy was at its inception, it was very, very, it wasn't developed. Very, very undeveloped. That the Spirit of God came upon them, they didn't know how to handle it. We remember King Saul, the first king of Israel, that the prophets... He was with a bunch of prophets, and they said, "Is Saul one of the prophets?" How did they know he was prophesying? He was dancing and jumping up and down, you know, ripping off his clothes. We remember David bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, and he had only a loincloth on. And I tell you, prophecy had even developed to that point. We remember his wife, Michal, saying that he was a fool, dressed like a fool, the king of kings of Egypt, of Israel, dressed like a fool. So they began to prophesy, and they did not cease. But there remained 2 men in the camp. They weren't in the tent. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Okay, here we have 2 more men. There were 68 people in the tabernacle, but these 2 men were still in the camp, and the Spirit of God came on them, and they start jumping up and down and dancing and speaking the word of God, and they're not part of the group. They didn't get to the tent. And there ran a young man, told Moses, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord, Moses, forbid them. They're not part of the group. Forbid them. They're not part of us. They're in the camp. They didn't follow the instructions. Forbid them. We remember Jesus, you know, when the apostles saw a man casting out demons in the name of Jesus, they were not part of the 12, they were not part of the 70, and they said, tell him to stop. And Jesus said, no, it's not a club, it has nothing to do with the club. He's casting out demons in my name. Who speaks in my name and casts out demons in my name can't say bad things about me. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. I'm going to tell you, the fullness of faith has been given to the Catholic Church. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friends, that if we do not accept what God has for us, he moves someplace else. Doesn't mean that we don't have the fullness of faith. It just means that God is looking for a person who is surrendered, a people who are surrendered. So you could go to another place that's not Catholic, and things are happening there that's so vibrant and so alive. You know, why? Because God came to the Catholic Church, and you know what we said? No, no, no. So these two prophets were prophesying, and Moses said, leave them alone. Let me tell you about the prophetic movement. If the Church of God, and we are called to be prophets, kings, and priests, if the Church of God is not prophetic, it is pathetic. It is pathetic. My friends, I want to ask you, who is warning us about the election that will take place on the 6th of November? Who is warning us, asking us to pray? Thank God Mother Angelica's people are having a novena for the whole experience of the voting and for the country. But where do we hear that this election is the most important of all elections since only God knows when, that our country is falling apart, that we're losing our freedoms, that we're giving them up? Who is warning us? Who is warning us that we have $16 trillion in debt, and that if it continues, the dollar is going to be worth nothing, that it'll cost you $27 to buy a loaf of bread, and that'll be day-old bread, $50 to buy a fresh loaf of bread? You say that's impossible. Well, it happened in Germany, and we owe $16 trillion. And who is warning us that we need to do something about this debt? Who is warning us that the dollar is going to be worth nothing? Who is warning us that there might be looting in the streets? Who is warning us like a watchman? Well, I'm telling you, I'm warning you. I'm saying it because in 1990, I saw it. I saw looting in the streets. I saw people suffering that was a suffering that we never experienced. It was called persecution. I saw a country that was tipped upside down. I saw it with my own spiritual eyes. And in 1990, everything good was happening as compared to the things that are happening now. In 1990, we didn't have a debt of $16 trillion. In 1990, we had at least a peace that we certainly don't have now. In 1990, I tell you, we have to listen to the prophets. I'm not telling you I'm a prophet. Believe me, I don't need to be a prophet. That's a bad job because you get the brunt of the pain by the people when you speak to them about repentance, when you speak to them about what's going to happen. They say, you know, he's a doom and gloom. Listen, I saw this happening in 1990, but I also saw that for the church that wanted to be the light of the world, it would be the best of times, that there would be miracles that would be restored that we've never seen, apostolic miracles, apostolic power, apostolic glory. I saw that too. But again, you know, people want to hear, you're all a bunch of nice people, everybody's nice, and you're a good person, and isn't it fine that you came to church this weekend? Isn't it lovely? You're a lovely man. You're a lovely woman. Listen, I tell you, you know, we need somebody like John the Baptist to say, you know what, you may be lovely, but you need to repent. You may be lovely, but when's the last time you've gone to confession? You may be lovely, but when's the last time you went out of your way for a neighbor? You may be lovely, but when's the last time you prayed? You may be lovely, but when's the last time you did something for God that no one knew? You may be lovely. You know, I was saying to the people yesterday, the Lord doesn't need Father Tom. Father Tom needs the Lord. The Lord can get along without me. He has for many, many years. He doesn't need me. I need him. I am desperate for him. He doesn't need me. If I choose to jump out of the race, he'll find someone else and maybe someone better. I'm not jumping out of any race. But I'm telling you, the whole point is that he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. I am desperate for him. Are you desperate for him? I'm asking you the question. Are you desperate for him? Do you think that you can't live without him? Because you know what? I can't live without him. I can't live without him. I'm desperate for him. I'm desperate for his touch. I'm desperate for his presence. I'm desperate for his move. I received a call last week that a young boy was in a tremendous accident. This was in California. And the mother said to Mary Smith, call Father Tom. I want Father Tom to pray. And so they called me. I started to pray. This is my prayer. Lord, intervene, 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 intervene. That's the only thing I kept on saying. I didn't say anything else, but intervene, 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 intervene. And I knew I was praying in the Spirit. I knew the Lord was intervening. 10 minutes after the prayer, the kid started moving his arms. You know why I need Jesus? Because I wouldn't be able to do anything like this without Jesus Christ, without his Holy Spirit. You know, I have received the Spirit of God more than Eldad and Medad. You have received the Spirit of God more than Eldad and Medad. What did Moses say that they were prophesying? And everybody says, forbid them from speaking. Moses said unto them, do you envy me for my sake? Would that all God's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And as a result, that's what we have in the New Testament. All God's people are prophetic. And I tell you, if we're not prophetic, we're pathetic. We are all given the gift of being a prophet at baptism. But how many of us use that gift? I'm not saying a prophet like Isaiah. I'm saying being prophetic. I am not a prophet like Isaiah. I am not a prophet like Ezekiel. But we are called to be prophetic. Prophetic to an age that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Prophetic to an age that looks elsewhere than to the cross. We are called to be prophetic. And if the church is not prophetic in 2012, the church is pathetic. And it's as simple as that. Heavenly Father, give us the Holy Spirit. Help us to warn the people. Help us to say, repent. Help us to recall repentance with love. Help us, Lord, to pray for the nation because the nation is falling apart. Help us to pray for the church because your church is in need of prayer. Raise up holy men and women. Raise up holy men and women throughout the world that will do your will and do your bidding. Lord, we want to do your will and we want to do your bidding. Raise up holy men and women all around the world so that we can be your people, so that we can be prophetic, so that we can speak the word of God. Raise them up, I pray, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, in the name of Jesus the Lord. Raise them up, I pray. Visit your people like we've never had visitation. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel. I need to hear from people. If you got our letter, please answer it. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. No complaining. No complaining today. Start rejoicing. Start praising the Lord. No complaining. Don't be like the children of Israel. No complaining. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.